This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the media, the world of make-believe, what you see on television. We're going to talk to Carol Roth about financial stuff, inflation stuff. We're going to talk about early polling, early voting, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about the bubble, the media bubble. In fact, it goes beyond the media. The media is just the main creator of the bubble. Let's discuss something we've talked about before on this show, the world of make-believe American Democrats live in. And maybe you're just sitting there thinking I'm once again calling all Democrats insane. And you'd be correct, I am. But let's discuss what I mean by that. What does insanity mean? What am I talking about? I'm not talking about policy disagreements, actually, at all. Taxes or spending or abortion or border. I'm not discussing that at all. I'm talking about what the media does and what the American Democrat believes. You see, I could go down a long list of things that you already know, things we've talked about before on the show. How many Democrats believe that Donald Trump colluded with Russia to win the 2016 election? If you look at the polling numbers, most of them. Most Democrats believe that. How many Democrats believe, we'll set Trump aside for a moment, how many Democrats believe the COVID-19 vaccine stopped the spread or slowed the spread of the virus to this day? How many believe it? If you look at the polling numbers, most of them do. How many Democrats believe Donald Trump called neo-Nazis at Charlottesville very fine people? Do keep in mind, we've played it for you before, I'm not going to play it right now. What Donald Trump actually said, which was not that, is on camera. It's on camera. Right now, anyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, anyone with an internet connection of any kind can pull up their phone and watch a video. I could pull it up for you right now. I'm not going to. Of what Donald Trump actually said. So we're not talking about a he said, she said situation. There's video of what he said. And if you look at the polling numbers, most Democrats believe Donald Trump said Nazis were very fine people. Well, none of those things are true. And it's not like they're kind of true, right? It's not like we're dealing with gray areas. Well, it's a manipulation. Those are black and white lies. Yet American Democrats believe that. And that's the challenge for you and the challenge for me. How do we share a country? Because we do have to share this country, at least for now. How do we effectively share a country with people who are insane? They are insane by any definition of the word. If I believed I can fly and I can't fly and I went on top of a building and jumped off, you would say Jesse's insane. He believes something that is just factually incorrect. He's insane. American Democrats are insane. And why are they insane? They're insane because the media has created that world for them. So if you don't ever break free of the traditional news sources, the New York Times, CNN, any of these things, if you never break out of that and seek alternative media information, you're insane because they're trying to make you insane. Here's actually a good example. Remember, Trump just gave this speech at Madison Square Garden, and there's this comedian who's hilarious. I love Tony. Comedian gets up and drops a joke about Puerto Rico, which I thought was freaking hilarious.
There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay. All right. Okay. We're getting there.
Okay, that's funny. Everyone knows the cultural, race jokes, religious jokes like that. They're extra offensive That's what makes them extra funny. That was hilarious. Puerto Rico is also, I should note, famous for its trash problem. This is nothing new. They have a garbage problem. They just don't know what to do with it. It piles up there. They have a garbage. Setting that aside, it was a joke. And you didn't care. You don't know a single person in your personal life who cared. Puerto Ricans don't care. I'm friends with a bunch of Puerto Ricans from the Marine Corps. We were all texting about it. We were all laughing. Everyone thought it was funny. Everyone, it was funny. But the American media recognized an opportunity to create a world of make-believe, to continue, I shouldn't say create, to continue to build this world of make-believe. The headlines are the best. This one's from the New York Times. Anger at Trump is shaping the race. What anger? Puerto Rican anger. The Puerto Ricans are so up in arms, it's reshaping the race. No one cares about a stupid joke at the Madison Square Garden. The media is having you believe it's reshaping the race. This is from Politico. This might be my favorite one. Politico says the Puerto Rico joke, the fallout is, quote, spreading like wildfire. That's what the headline, spreading like wildfire. And if you read the article at all, it's like two paragraphs in, you'll find that quote is from a Democrat official, an official in the local Democrat Party. Politico ran down to the local Democrat Party. Hey, is there a Democrat in here? And they got a quote from him on what he wants everyone to believe. And so he gives the quote to Politico. Politico acts like they got the quote from polling or some accurate source, and boom, Puerto Rican fallout, reshaping the race. None of these things are true. None of this has to do with anything at all. But these are small things. Let's talk about larger things. Things Democrats believe. Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. Donald Trump is a fascist. So pull up a chair, have a talk. And this may actually offend you. Donald Trump is kind of soft. He is. Donald Trump, if people think he's this tough guy because of all the bluster and he's always willing to verbally blast somebody. A fascist? A dictator? Donald Trump got pushed around for 4 years. He did. He got pushed around for 4 years. Remember when he had the wonderful child separation policy at the border? And it lasted about 15 minutes. What happened? The Democrats and the media ran an op. Remember AOC crying at the border, kids in cages. What happened? Trump administration, hey, let's stop that. We don't need that. Remember after George Floyd died? And again, the communists ran an op trying to destroy cities, let criminals out of jail, and wipe out police departments. Very successful op. Donald Trump held a law enforcement roundtable. We need to dig into the problem. Donald Trump is the furthest thing in the world from some dictator or Nazi, some kind of tough man who's going to get in there with like the sword of God and clean out everything. That's not who Donald Trump is. He's a populist. He wants to get along. He actually wants nice articles written about him in the New York Times. That's who he is. That's how he grew up. And yet, the American Democrat will go on television and say things like this.
Donald Trump runs like he was never president, like he doesn't have a record. And whatever the phenomena is of people having not so terrible memories of his first term, it is very dangerous that they think that way, because they think, okay, we've already seen that movie. I can live with it for four more years. But it's not the same movie. You know, it's the sequel to Scream, where it's just that much bloodier. The trajectory he's on with his
worst
thoughts.
Worse actors.
The trajectory that he's on with his thoughts, his language, his health, his mental health, his cognitivity. I mean, if he, God forbid, is elected a year from now, Joe Biden is going to have the biggest I told you so laugh in American history. You're a journalist. You and I might be sharing a cell in 6 months from now. And, you know, but people laugh it off. It's not funny.
No,
and they need to listen to what he's saying.
Donald Trump isn't locking up any journalists. He even ran talking about locking up Hillary Clinton and then invited her to dinner and stood up and gave her honors. Not locking up any journalists, but if you're an American Democrat, that's the world of make-believe you have constructed for yourself. And look, we can laugh it off, but the truth is it's created a dangerous situation in this country. Why? Because not only are we dealing with insane people, as we just laid out, they believe a bunch of things that aren't true, Democrats have also, the communists have also given their conscience a license to do terrible things, not just to Donald Trump, to you. Because after all, what can't you do to a Nazi?
In 1939, more than 20,000 supporters of a different fascist leader, Adolf Hitler, packed the Garden for a so-called pro-America rally, a rally where speakers voiced anti-Semitic rhetoric from a stage draped with Nazi banners. Now, against that backdrop of history, Donald Trump, the man who has threatened to use the military against opponents he calls enemies from within, who has threatened to use the troops to quell what he says are lawless cities, and to use those troops to carry out mass deportations of immigrants, is once again turning Madison Square Garden into a staging ground for extremism.
Donald Trump's got this big rally going at Madison Square Garden. There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden. And don't think that he doesn't know for 1 second exactly what they're doing there.
Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939.
Adolf Hitler was interviewed, and I'm quoting from his article where he was interviewed. He said, "Therefore, I say America is for Americans." Stephen Miller took the stage on Sunday evening, and he said, "America is for Americans." He is parroting the exact words of Adolf Hitler at a rally for somebody who's running for president of the United States. Somebody ought to really think about the level of hypocrisy and hate that this campaign is focused on.
It was everything that you need to know about Donald Trump in one weird white nationalist Nazi type rally. And of course, there's historic parallels to where and when this happened.
It is not only justified, but necessary and inevitable to compare that rally to the Nazi rally that was held there before World War II, and that should never be appropriate or necessary in American politics, and yet it is.
That's why the American Democrats think they're fighting against Nazis. And they, of course, don't see any problem calling everybody Nazis. It's like the worst thing you can call someone, but it's they've done it for so long that it's just part of their language. I did enjoy my friend Ryan Gerdusky. He used to be a contributor on CNN. I say used to be because last night he was, of course, being called a Nazi by this loser, Mehdi Hassan, and Ryan gave him a little jab back, which gave me a nice little snicker.
If you don't want to be called Nazis, stop doing...
You're called an anti-Semite more than anyone else's table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people will sit there and... No, by me. I never called you an anti-Semite. Okay. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying...
I mean, I'm a supporter of the Palestinians, so I'm used to it.
Yeah, I hope your beeper doesn't go off. The thing is
that... Did you just say I should die?
You should not.
No,
I said... Did you just say I should be killed?
No, I did not say that. No, I did not say that.
Hold on.
Did your guest just say I should be killed?
No, I did not. Hold on.
On live TV.
I said I hope you're...
Guys, let me just stop.
You said you hope my beeper doesn't go off.
Guys,
you
said I'm a big supporter
of the Palestinians.
Of Hamas?
Guys, let me
say Palestinian.
Are you?
Am I what? No, of course I'm not.
Palestinians are not.
Then I apologize.
Are you a racist, violent person inciting violence against
Ryan,
me?
Ryan.
That's disgusting.
That is completely...
Then I apologize.
Good job, CNN. Let's have first block say the Muslim guy should be blown
then
up
I apologize.
On
then
TV.
I apologize.
Don't
then
say,
I apologize.
Don't say then wow. I apologize. You literally...
I thought he said Hamas.
And it was announced, I believe, last night, that Ryan will not be invited back. You can't have dissenting voices. You can't have anyone punch back. If you have anyone who's even remotely intelligent, they just kick them out. That's why, I mean, look, I called exactly this. I told everyone what was going to happen to Ryan last week. I kid you not. I love how she cut him off. I love watching Ryan Gerdusky's star rise. I'm not surprised in the least that I'm about 100% sure he's going to get fired from being on these CNN panels if he keeps abusing all these crazy libs the way he's been. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but the Oracle was right again. All right, quit. Speaking of the world of make-believe, Carol Roth is going to join us. Let's talk about our economy. Not good. Before we talk to Carol Roth, let's talk about the best documentary I've ever seen. It's honestly, for political documentaries, I don't think I've ever laughed at a political documentary. Am I Racist had me in stitches. Had me in stitches. Watching Matt Walsh abuse these DEI losers is just so great. And your entire family can watch it. Highly recommend it. But to watch it, you have to become a Daily Wire Plus subscriber. The good news is you can get 35% off. Here's what you have to do. DailyWire.com/subscribe, and you use the code DEI. DailyWire.com/subscribe, all right? We'll be back with Carol Roth.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How concerned are you about the potential impact of the dollar's status as the world's reserve currency?
Let's see.
That's so good. That's so good. Producer Matt is the one who came up with that clip. I've laughed about it 10 times already today. Joining me now, we'll discuss the symbolism of that with the great Carol Roth, obviously author of many, many books. Her latest might be her greatest, You Will Own Nothing. Highly recommend it if you want to know the plans these dirty commies have for you. Carol, okay, symbolism aside, not feeling very bullish on the dollar, Carol. Even if Republicans take over, we all know no one's cutting any spending.
I love the fact that the spirit world had to intervene with Janet Yellen because they just didn't trust what was going to come out of her mouth. And they're like, we've got this for you. We're just going to dump the Treasury sign on the floor, as should have been done a long time ago. Listen, even Janet Yellen is coming out and saying we need to get our deficits under control or we're going to be in big trouble. And we know when Janet Yellen gets to that conclusion, it is far too late. And it's a very scary situation, Jesse, because I feel like we're in this game of chess where anytime you make a move, you know that there's going to be something bad coming on the other side. You're locked all across the board. And whatever it is that you want to do, some sort of bad outcome is going to happen. And we're starting to see, you know, more people come around to this idea. We're seeing lots of signs in the various markets. Even though the Fed has cut rates 50 basis points, the longer end of the Treasury yields, 10-year yields are actually up about the same, maybe a little bit more than the amount that has been cut. So they're saying to the world, hey, we're expecting something to go awry. We're also seeing at the same time that yields are going up, that we're seeing gold going up and Bitcoin going up. And usually there's a trade-off because, you know, for something like Bitcoin or gold, you're not getting a yield on it. So usually when yields are going up, there's some sort of a trade-off. So the fact that these are all moving together Basically, people are very worried about what is going to happen economically ahead. And this is not a weigh-in on the election. Certainly, one choice is going to be worse and more rapid than the other. But they're saying that no matter who is in charge, we're worried about bad things happening. And really, the most likely outcome, as we've discussed before, is it means bad things that are going to happen to your purchasing power.
No doubt about it. And what drives me crazy, Carol, is, as you mentioned, she's talking about our deficits. We can't keep running up, you know, $2 trillion deficits. And of course, she's correct. But no one wants to cut anything. You know, it's easy to say we're spending too much money, but nobody on either side seems to have the guts to say we're cutting that. And that, in the end, is the only thing that matters. Anyone can point to the deficits and say it's a problem. It's a whole other conversation to actually tell people that government check, it's not coming anymore.
Well, and here's the challenge, as I talk about with the chessboard, is that we haven't been in a situation before where the debt levels are where they are. You know, we have 120%+ debt to GDP. Our deficits are around 7% deficits to GDP. So we don't have the same flexibility that we would have if those numbers were more normalized. So even something like cutting, they have to be very careful about how they cut and sort of the tenor of that, because what they can't have happen is that the GDP goes down. They can't have that happen, because then debt to GDP goes awry in the other direction. They're also probably taking in less in terms of revenue, and that ends up creating a whole set of other problems with the deficit. So that's why I'm saying this is all this crazy puzzle piece that you have to really thread this needle very carefully with growth. If you're going to do cuts, they have to be done in a way that is, you know, sort of in concert with growth. And there's a reason why former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan has said in the past, we can promise you your benefits, but we cannot promise you your purchasing power. And that leads me to believe that high inflation is what we are going to end up seeing. Because as you said, nobody's going to want to redo entitlements. They're going to say, I am entitled to X dollars, without the average person understanding that it's not about X dollars, it's about what X dollars can buy. This is the same population, you know, many decades ago when there were burger wars and somebody was doing really well with their quarter pounder burger. One of the chains, I think it was McDonald's, another chain said, oh, well, we'll put out a third pound burger and that'll dominate. And everybody thought of a third pound burger was smaller than a quarter pound burger. And that was a couple decades ago, and people are even less smart right now. So these are the people who aren't understanding that, you know, yes, you may have this nominal amount that you're promised, but if we, you know, flush out all of your purchasing power, that isn't going to matter. And that's the chess match that we're dealing with. So just buckle up, as I've been advising you guys, make sure that you have some hard assets and just be prepared that even if you think inflation is a little bit sleepy in terms of its growth, you know, the consensus is that we are, you know, in turn for another ride, because they cannot let the economy tank. Otherwise, that will accelerate everything, game over, because they can't. Debt to GDP is just at too high of a level, and deficits to GDP are at too high of a level.
Carol, where are we at on the dollar being the world's reserve currency? We've talked about this many times. Everyone who watches this show knows about BRICS. You have educated us many times on that. But as we've also talked about, BRICS isn't ready for prime time, right? That's the thing that's holding the dollar up. BRICS is not ready to take that over. And when you have countries like China being the main backer of it, it's very difficult for me to believe the world would ever trust China in the way that they trust us. But never say never. Where's BRICS right now?
So what we've seen is that central banks around the world, including some of those who are in the BRICS alliance, especially China, have been getting rid of their treasury securities. And when they've been doing that, they haven't been replacing it with another country's reserve currency. They have been replacing that with gold. And so what we've seen is that right now they're trading amongst themselves, because a lot of them, you know, have import needs and different export needs, and they're able to make, you know, these trades. But when there is a sort of a leftover amount of surplus, that they're, the Chinese in particular are offering settlement for that in gold. So that's, again, one of the reasons why we're starting to see some uptick in the price of gold as we have seen over the last year, and why we probably will continue to do that, because I don't necessarily anticipate that there's going to be this other currency, but could there be a, you know, a move back to a hard currency that sort of underlies everything? And from the central bank's perspective, you know, they're saying that they believe that gold by their actions is the one that's likely to happen. We're also, again, you kind of tied into what we're saying. So there's two things. There's the reserves, but there's also the trading currency. The U.S. just dominates as a trading currency. Well, as they do more of trades amongst themselves and they do more settlement in gold, the dollar will become less and less vital. We're still by far and away the dominant player out there. And that's one of the scary things, is that, you know, if something were to go sideways and we don't have the right people in charge, which we haven't had for quite some time, making decisions, this could really have this ripple impact around the world. And as you and I have discussed many times before, Jesse, you know, when you have this financial world order change, it often comes along with war. Not every war, gives you a new financial world order, but every new financial world order has been preceded by a war as sort of that mechanism to have a reason to come together and make a reset, because, you know, it's unlikely that everybody's going to come together proactively when there's so much hostility between these different regions. So I would buckle up. You know, the scene has been set, no matter what happens, no matter who gets in, that there are some very scary things coming down the pike. So button yourself down, you know, do whatever you can to make sure that you have your financial situation, your financial house in order, because it is very likely that things are going to be getting uglier sooner than later, unfortunately.
Carol, I love you. I hate your message. No, you are the best. Thanks, Carol. Come back soon. I appreciate you, as I always do. Thank you. All right. Now, let's take a look at the polls, some early voting, some trends, shall we? Before we do that, let's take a look at your sleep. No, I don't want to watch you sleep. Don't send me videos of that. But are you sleeping well every night? It gets harder as you get older, as stress levels go up. There's always something new to worry about, right? Bricks! How do you sleep through the night? Well, if I ever have trouble or think I'm going to have trouble, maybe I had an afternoon cup of coffee, I go for Beam. Dream powder from Beam is what it's called. It's called Dream Powder. It's natural. The difference between Dream Powder and everything else I've ever taken to sleep is not only do I sleep through the night, I feel great when I wake up. That's the difference. I feel like I didn't take anything. I just feel like I knocked out 8 hours of sleep and I wake up ready to conquer the world. Do you want to conquer the world? Go get some Dream Powder. Up to 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Election Day. We are 1 week from Election Day. Isn't that wild? It's just seemed like it's been so far away, and now, boom, it's here. And we have not had a pollster on this show since forever, because honestly, you can make a poll say whatever you want it to say, but polling trends do matter. You know, one poll is a snapshot and can be manipulated. Trends don't lie, though. And so I thought we should have Eric Daugherty on to talk about it. Joining me now, Assistant News Director for Florida's Voice. Okay, Eric, the polling trends. I'm in a bubble. To me, I sit back. It looks like Dome is failing. It looks like Trump is surging. But you are the one who studies data. I'm not near smart enough to do that. What do you see?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're pretty much accurate when you say that Trump is gaining. How you want to define surge is really up to you. But what we've seen and what my view has been is that Trump has had a narrow but steady lead, as obviously since Biden has been in the race. And what happened was once Kamala got in the race, we saw a little bit of what's known as a sugar high. That's kind of the term that's been going around. And everyone thought that she surged ahead. Well, now we're back to basically where Trump was against Biden. He's got kind of a narrow lead in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. His lead nationally is pretty much just a tie there. Right now, he's up 0.1 in Real Clear Politics. That's kind of just hovering around a toss-up. And then over in the Sun Belt, he's got a more durable lead in places like North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. So I think right now, you'd definitely rather be Trump, because we all know how these the end of these presidential campaigns go. You want to have the momentum. And right now, Trump has the momentum.
Eric, something I almost always ignore is the popular vote. The popular vote, that's something the dirty commies like to talk about because they actually want this country to be a democracy so they can win every election. But I keep seeing things that Trump is either in the lead or flirting with the popular vote. Now, to me, again, uneducated Jesse, that sounds like we might be looking at a blowout, because Republicans don't win the popular vote. That's not even really possible. But am I interpreting that wrong?
You're not. What's happening right now is Trump is indeed flirting with an outright lead in the popular vote. Right now, it's a total toss-up. I think it's a 50-50 race here for the popular vote. And you'd be correct in thinking that he could win in a landslide, because you go back to 2016, states like New Hampshire and Minnesota were about to flip red, and Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 2 points. So you would have to see a bit of a realignment happening for him to win the popular vote and not pick off a state, maybe a Virginia, Minnesota, or New Hampshire, if he does win the popular vote. So it's very possible. It's definitely not out of the realm of possibilities.
Whew. Okay. All right. Let's move on to early voting. The early voting numbers, they do tell a tale. Everyone knows Democrats win early voting. That's how it's always been for my entire 20-year career in politics. They win early voting, the GOP wins Election Day voting, and the GOP hopes it wins enough on Election Day to come back. So where are we looking? How are we looking on early voting?
Yeah, so with early voting right now, something really unprecedented is happening. You're right, Jesse. Democrats are, this is supposed to be their time. This is their part of the election, voting by mail, voting early. They're known for doing this, especially after COVID. We saw that in 2020, and we saw that in 2022. Right now, Republicans outright lead the early vote in North Carolina, in Nevada, and Arizona. Those are the states we have party registration for. Over in Pennsylvania, which is obviously the big one, they don't have proper in-person voting there. Democrats do lead, but get this, they led by over 40 points in 2020, and now they only lead by 29.
Jeez, unbelievable. Eric, thank you so much, my brother. I appreciate you. All right. I'm trying not to get my hopes up, okay? I'm doing the best I can not to get my hopes up, but everything looks good right now, doesn't it? Everything looks good right now. Well, I guess I guess we'll see how it turns out. All right, before we get to everything else we have, let's get to this. Your phone. Who do you have your cell phone service with? Because we have to be more purposeful with where we spend our money now. Now that the corporate world has decided to get involved politically, almost always against us, we have to punish them for it until they change their ways. Do you send money to AT&T every month, or Verizon, or T-Mobile? These companies hate you. They take the money from your wallet and they spend it on the most despicable communist cultural causes you can possibly imagine. Pure Talk has never done that to you and will never do that to you. Pure Talk's CEO is a veteran. They hire Americans. You'll save a fortune. My bill got cut in half. Switch to Pure Talk. It's easy. It's cake. You realize you can keep your phone or get a new one. They have all the brand new smartphones. Keep your phone, get a new one, keep your number, get a new one, whatever, at Pure Talk. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Watch out.
What a moment that was. I do remember, though, seems like it was yesterday. Remember when they took the assassin and they just cremated his body and sprayed off the roof like 5 minutes after it was done? It's interesting. Joining me now, my friend Lee Smith, with a book out you really should pick up called Disappearing the President. Look, I read everything Lee writes anyways, whether it's a book or it's an article, but trust me, probably his best work. Lee, it is interesting how little we know about the guy who came 2 inches away from blowing Donald Trump's head off, and that evidence just disappeared.
You'd like to think at a normal time, this is something the FBI would want to get ahead of, and they would say, well, you know what, for the benefit of the American people who pay our salary and whom we serve, we should really make sure that we're totally transparent, even, you know, even going far and beyond to show our transparency. And we're going to tell them everything that we find about this investigation. There may be some details so that we can If there are accomplices, for instance, we don't want to give away information that will foil our investigation, but we need to be upfront with them. But of course, nothing of the sort has happened. You would think that since 2016, when we've known, since the time we've known the FBI has been plotting against Donald Trump, they would want to avoid any impression of trying to hurt the opposition leader, the Republican candidate for president. But again, of course, they've done nothing of the sort.
Yeah, that's maybe the most interesting, or one of the most interesting parts of all this for me, Lee, is they know how they're perceived now. They know the public opinion polls. They understand what many people, about half the country, thinks of them. Yet, at least from what I can tell, they're not even pretending to change course. You've heard nothing out of Ray, out of any of them. They really don't seem afraid of anybody.
Right now, whenever we hear it's under FBI investigation, whether this is referring to a Biden administration leak regarding Israel's plans against Iran, whether it's regarding Hunter Biden's laptop, or whether it's two assassination attempts on Donald Trump, when we hear it's under FBI investigation, what we understand now, and we've known this now for 8 years, that it's being buried, right? Unless they're investigating Donald Trump, or unless they're investigating Trump aides or Trump supporters, pro-life activists, grandmothers praying at abortion clinics, unless it's something like that, that we know when it's under a FBI investigation, that means that federal law enforcement authorities have been authorized to bury it, or maybe not authorized. Maybe they just know. Maybe they just know if it's coming out of the Obama team, they know how to bury it.
Lee, okay, let's assume, and this may be a huge assumption, fingers crossed, that they don't kill Donald Trump in the next week. Let's hope they do not. And let's assume, again, fingers crossed, that he wins the presidency. It certainly seems like it's possibly trending that way. I don't assume that the bad guys who are throughout our government are just going to shrug their shoulders and retire and go home. What do they do next?
I'd like to imagine, Jesse, there's some scenario where they say, well, you know what? We don't want to break the entire system, and it's not really worth it for Kamala Harris. And I'm just, you know, I'm like a number five at the FBI. So it's not like I'm going to make a lot more money. I'd like to imagine there's some thinking like that. I'm afraid, though, I have to agree with you that there's too much at stake. What I report in the book, In Disappearing the President, I show that there are a number of different scenarios that all lead to violence during the post-election period. It's interesting to know that there are a lot of Democratic Party officials, as well as operatives, former officials, who appear to be anticipating a Trump victory. This is what Jamie Raskin is talking about, for instance, Congressman Jamie Raskin, when he talks about that Trump will not be seated as president. And then, you know, the way his phrase goes, yes, then we'll have to take on the Trump hordes, and then it's security for all of us, and then it's civil war conditions. I mean, it's repugnant the way these guys speak. But what I report in the book also is, you may remember from the 2020 election, former Obama Pentagon official Rosa Brooks, she was the head of the Transition Integrity Project. And of course, what this really was, this was post-election contingency planning. And so she's up to it again for 2024 with something called the Democracy Futures Project. And the scenario that they've been circulating, they had a rollout July 30th, 2024. So it was a purposeful media rollout to show what their different scenarios were for the post-election period. And they lead to violence. Right. One of them actually, forecasts, urges such violence that Donald Trump would be compelled to invoke the Insurrection Act, at which point different Pentagon officials decline to follow Trump's orders. They're replaced with other military officials. And what that is, that's a split in the military right there. So that's what some of the Democratic Party is looking at right now. They're forecasting, or again, urging post-election violence.
It's so crazy where we are. You know, a name that I think you've brought it up 5-6 times already, Obama. It is interesting how often that name comes up. And you mentioned how many Democrats seem to be washing their hands of Kamala Harris right now. A bunch of the Senate candidates, Democrats, are quietly or not so quietly walking away. But not the Obamas. Barack Obama and his hag wife have been crisscrossing the country, giving speeches, doing everything they can to yank that woman across the finish line. What do you make of that?
Well, Jesse, what I argue again in disappearing the president, I mean, again, it's a comprehensive account of the last 8 years of the Get Trump operation. And I said, look, we've been talking about the deep state, the administrative state, permanent bureaucracy, however we want to put it. But I said, really, we need to put some names on this and figure out who's behind it. And in my research, my investigations, interviews with some terrific people, it's Barack Obama who's at the head of the organizational structure behind the Get Trump operation. It's really astonishing. I mean, I had a general idea, but looking into it and finding, if you look at the multi-pronged operation to get Donald Trump, there's the surveillance campaign, there's the censorship campaign, there's the election interference campaign, there's the political violence campaign, and at the origin of every single one of them is Barack Obama. So look, what this election means is, given that Harris is Barack Obama's candidate, let's remember, he was pushing her before 2020. That's where all the, you know, that's where the Obamas were pushing all the donor money. And that's where they were pushing lots of attention. And he got her into the VP role too. So the way that I see this election is, it's not just for Donald Trump. It's not just making America great again. It's not just looking into the future with Elon Musk, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. joining forces with Donald Trump. It also would mark an end to Obama's power, right? He's been running a shadow presidency for the last 4 years. He was the person who interfered with Donald Trump's administration. And then there was his own presidency. So what a Kamala Harris presidency would mean 2 decades, perhaps a quarter of a century of Barack Obama. So they're extremely concerned. They want to hold on to power. And there's a lot to unearth about what Barack Obama has done, certainly since 2016. So you see them looking harried on the campaign trail. And that's what it's about. It means the end of Obama's power. It means the end of the shadow presidency.
Disappearing the president, highly recommend you go pick it up if you want to see what just might be coming. Lee generally doesn't miss on these things. Lee, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you, as always. Sobering, isn't it? This is what happens when you elect a street communist. The truth is, as I've said many, many times before, every election is sold as the one we can't afford to lose. The one we couldn't afford to lose was the one Barack Obama won the first time. We simply couldn't afford 8 years of that guy. He wounded this nation, maybe mortally. Time will tell. All right, enough. We need to lighten the mood badly, don't we? Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It feels like, by the way, we're doing a light in the mood. It feels like the GOP is changing. Slowly, not as fast as you want, not as fast as I want, but it feels like the GOP is changing. That's going to be our light in the mood in a moment. Before we get to that, I want to do this really quickly. I want you to subscribe. Do me a favor and subscribe to my YouTube channel. We're starting to put more things on YouTube channels, you know, debate night, random thoughts I have. How do you do that? Well, this is the smartphone era now. It's beautiful. Take your little phone, open up the camera, and scan that QR code you see on the screen. It'll take you right there. Subscribe to it. Then you get more me. What's better than that? Go, subscribe. All right, let's do Light in the Mood. You know that Puerto Rican joke we talked about in the opening of the show? It's a funny joke. The Puerto Rican joke, of course, the media is trying to make it a thing. Always offended on behalf of somebody. Oh, you can't say anything insensitive. J.D. Vance is not just a senator anymore, just a senator. A senator is a big deal. He's not a senator anymore. He's the VP candidate, and if things go well a week from now, he will be the vice president of the United States of America. And traditionally, that's when GOP candidates lose the very last bit of testosterone in their body, and they grab their ankles every single time the media approaches them with something. Maybe, just maybe, things are changing.
A comedian made several racist jokes that the campaign has since distanced itself from. Another speaker called Kamala Harris the Antichrist, another called her the devil. You've talked before about former President Trump being able to unite the country. I'm curious, as we are entering this last stretch of campaigning, this final week, is that the right tone to have started this final 8 days with?
The way that we unite the country is to talk about the issues the American people care the most about. And what we're doing over the next 8 days is we're focused, laser focused, on how we're gonna close the border, how we're gonna make American lives more affordable again, how we're gonna bring down the cost of housing. That's what we should be talking. I think a lot of Americans are sick of the distractions and sick of the BS. They want our candidates to talk about how they're gonna solve the people's problems. And that's what we ought to do. I think that it's telling that Kamala Harris's closing message is essentially that all of Donald Trump's voters are Nazis and you should get really pissed off about a comedian telling a joke. That is not the message of a winning campaign. I'm not going to comment on the specifics of the joke, but I think that we have to stop getting so offended at every little thing in the United States of America. I'm so over it. Our country was built by frontiersmen who conquered the wilderness. We're not gonna restore the greatness of American civilization if we get offended at every little thing. Let's have a sense of humor, and let's have a little fun, and let's go win in 8 days. God bless you all, thank you.
J.D. Vance, you know how hard I am on politicians, on every side. Dude is impressive. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.